Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that sees two films with something in common go head-to-head to see which one does it better. On this episode, in the red corner, Merry Christmas from Aldovia, where there's intrigue in the royal household as a budding reporter attempts to get the scoop of the century by pretending to be an American tutor. As in, she's American and a tutor. She doesn't tutor people in American. Nothing is made of this, which, if you ask me, feels like a missed opportunity. From 2017, it's A Christmas Prince.
Forget Fashion Week. What do you know about the royal family of Aldovia? This is better than an exclusive. Get lots of video, audio, whatever you can grab.
I hope you'll come tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
The Christmas Eve ball.
What's going on?
Complete makeover.
While in the blue corner, it's Merry Christmas from Belgravia. As a competitive baker and a royal duchess swap places for some reason I couldn't quite work out. I think maybe it was a bet or a dare. Anyway, hijinks ensue in 2018's The Princess Switch.
The royal family of Belgravia invites you to compete in our Christmas baking competition.
Who are you?
Lady Margaret Delacourt, Duchess of Montanaro.
Stacey DeNovo.
I think we were destined to run into each other.
I'm supposed to marry Prince Edward on New Year's Day, but I hate being in the spotlight. I want to switch places with you.
Switch places?
I become you, and you become me.
So what connects these two movies, and which one does it better? Let's find out! It's Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken!
Hello, Clash Podders. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
I'm Chris Tilley.
And as you just heard, this week we are doing two movies available for free on Netflix. So not for free. Yeah. If you've got Netflix, they're for free, but they're not really for free, but they really should be. Anyway, it's A Christmas Prince and The Princess Switch. These were my choices, so accept this as my resignation from Clash Pod. I am leaving. After today, I can only apologise. That's not true. There is stuff to enjoy here. There is stuff to enjoy.
It's more stuff to discuss than stuff to enjoy.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And we're back to exactly how I felt when I walked into this room today. There's just stuff that happens
a lot
in these films. But they were my choices. Do you want to go for the connection, guys? What's the connection?
The connection is happy heteronormative Christmas, everyone.
That's a very good connection. It's not the one I was going for. Chris?
Is it
Yep.
Princes with zero charisma and long faces. Weirdly long faces.
No, but I thought you were going to do a Spin Doctors joke then, which is really upsetting.
Two Another princes. Another old reference. Brilliant. Got that in early.
Am I taking crazy films over here?
Is it movies based on scripts that were written by an algorithm?
Oh, I've got algorithm written down.
Let's do the random Christmas title generator. Jingle All My Holidays. Magic Prince Snowjoy. Nothing?
You've got to have a pun, Chris. You didn't come prepared.
I mean, there are a surprising amount of connections between the films, because these were first watches for all of us.
I want to say, I rolled the dice on this one. And again, I'm sorry.
These are popular films. These are something of a phenomenon, these Christmas movies. You know, they're originally Hallmark Christmas movies, but now Netflix is getting in that business. So we thought we'd have a look at them, see what was going on. And I think you messaged the WhatsApp group just saying these are the same film.
They're the same film.
Because there is a quite shocking amount of similarities between
it's
the two.
It's not similarity, it's repetition.
You know they're written by the same person.
They're not.
Yeah, they are.
Are they? Are you sure?
Yeah. They're written by exactly the same bloke.
I wish I'd known that.
I don't think
that's true. Did you guys not even know?
No.
I thought A Christmas Prince was written by a woman.
No. They're both written by the same guy. I forget his name, which is probably for the best. But the reason I knew they were is because there's the same line at the end of A Princess Switch, The Princess Switch, where they talk about lifting up a shop from New York and replacing it in the mythical country they've created. Yeah. And at that point I went, that's odd. It's the same guy. The same guy.
So Nate Atkins.
No. No, not Nate Atkins.
Oh, doesn't matter.
I think it does, because I might be wrong.
Yeah, they're not written by the same person. So
Robin Bernheim wrote them.
No, I think you might have watched the wrong film.
Oh, interesting.
Well, this is going to be fun. So the connection is, if they are indeed the right films I watched.
I can't wait.
And to be honest, there has been some debate about this on WhatsApp earlier today, so there is a chance. But let's just dive in and see what happens.
Oh, fingers crossed.
The connection is, Christmas is a time for lying.
Yes, that's very good.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. So, Chris, I gave you A Christmas Prince. Victoria, you had The Princess Switch. Am I right?
Yes.
Right, great. So we do it chronologically by a year. That means A Christmas Prince starts us off,
yeah,
Chris.
A Christmas Prince written by Nate Atkins and a woman called Karen Shaler.
Yes.
Alex is looking this up because he doesn't believe me.
I do believe you. I just
It's going to put me off when I do my thing because I know he's not listening.
I am. Sorry. Fine. I'll be wrong.
Okay, so I thought I'd with my description, I'd do a little bit of plot because I'm thinking maybe a lot of our audience haven't seen these films.
Oh, I wouldn't. Yeah, don't bank on it.
Amber is an ambitious journalist sent to cover a royal press conference in the made-up country of Aldovia.
Do you think they call it that when they send it there?
That's its official title.
Welcome to the made-up country. Sorry, no, I was doing an accent there. Everyone's British.
I think it's in Walthamstow, I've got to be honest.
Do your intro.
We don't interrupt the intros.
Sorry.
That's been a rule since the start. Yeah. Playboy Prince Richard is having doubts about becoming king. So to land an exclusive, Amber infiltrates the royal family by posing as a tutor and promptly falls in love with the man she is supposed to be investigating. The film is directed by Alex Zamm, who helmed Inspector Gadget 2, Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2, Tooth Fairy 2, and Jingle All the Way 2. But while A Christmas Prince isn't the second film in an ongoing franchise, it could be described as a number two.
Boom! Suck that up, A Christmas Prince. Chris just burned you.
And that's Alex Zamm, not Alex Zane. Juice Bigelow, European gigolo star Alex Zane. Do not get them confused. One is much more successful than the other.
Thank you. Wait, what?
So, lots going on in A Christmas Prince. I tried to watch this unironically. I wanted to
take both of these
films seriously. I wanted to like them. I know this is a very popular thing at Christmas, is to watch these kind of cheesy romantic movies, and I thought I want to like these because there's a lot of them out there. If they're good, I'm into it. But
And yeah. Christmas in New York, because A Christmas Prince starts off in New York, and I was just in New York at the weekend, and the Rockefeller Christmas tree is in the start montage. I was like, oh, I was there. The giant baubles, I was like, oh, I was there.
Ghostbusters lions.
Right. And then like that, bang. It's like, why would you start it in New York and make everyone think, oh my God, the best place to set a Christmas yeah. movie, and then piss off to made-up country Aldovia?
No, before we get there, we have the Michigan Avenue Bridge in Chicago. And then a bunch of flags in Chicago yeah. because the stock footage they use at the start of the film starts with New York stock footage and then becomes Chicago stock
no.
footage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, the start of the Princess yes. Switch, that is Chicago.
That is Chicago. Yeah.
Okay, you know I'm still trying to work out if I've watched the right movies.
I don't think you have.
I don't think I have either.
No, but you're right. It starts with scenes of New York, but they've thrown some Chicago in there, and this is the attention to detail we're going to see in this movie, I think.
Which is a surprise, because the script is so on the nose that you think, like, so much attention to detail. Lines, well, like, I sort of came to it, like, it took me a while to adjust, let's say, because I was like, is this going to be any good? Is this going to be rubbish? And once I sort of, like, got my eye in, the script really helped me with lines such as, like, but you're a junior editor and you really need this break in your career and you're just too busy for love and et cetera, et cetera.
I like the line, he's so hot, he's everyone's type.
That's categorically untrue. So,
weirdly, the bit where she's looking at pictures of him on the internet at the start, they have found the worst photographs of him. As an actor, he's not unattractive, but all those photos are awful. And they're like, oh, he is a 12. Is he a 12, Vicky?
Well, I was distracted because with a beard, he looks like Tom Hardy. Without a beard, he looks like Captain America. I couldn't figure it out.
I mean, that's hot either way, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I didn't think he pulled the beard off. I mean,
but
literally.
He's not either of those people.
Although you could have done. It was the worst fake beard in
my
the world.
My favourite line in the opening bit is when she's talking about being a junior editor and she says, I'm not exactly killing it on the freelance market. I've had 5 rejection letters in a week. And I thought, could that be because, as a millennial journalist, you're still using letters? Try email, babe.
Amber is a journalist. She's played by, I'm going to call her MacGyver, because that's her last name.
Cool.
She works for, I couldn't work out if it was Now Beat or Beat Now.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's the Now with the Beat written in the middle O of Now. Is it Beat Now or Now Beat?
Who cares?
I also think neither is a good name.
Yeah.
Beat Now.
Yeah, for a light, gossipy magazine? I don't know.
She's an editor who wants to be a writer, but normally you become an editor after you've been a writer.
Yeah, because she does the fashion column. The guy who does the fashion column is Dick, and he turned in 650 words, and the article was meant to be 300 words. And she's like, this isn't an edit job, this is a rewrite. However,
it's a major rewrite.
It does.
She's got to save his butt.
Right? Again, by the sounds of things, this guy's a clown. But he has come up with a great idea for an article, Ugly Christmas Jumpers of the Stars. I'd read that.
Yeah, I would too.
But yeah, so MacGyver plays a journalist in a film. You've played...
I think that's going to tickle me for the whole show.
That's why I did it. You've played a journalist in a film. Kind of a presenter.
Yes, I have in Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. I was the guy on the red carpet at the 75th annual Golden Boners.
Quick question. Is there a PR budget that you, Alex, have allocated to Chris? Because that's possibly about the 5th time you've mentioned that and I never mentioned
it.
Well,
I was leading into something. So I've nearly played a journalist in a film.
Oh, God. Right.
I went all the way to... Where did they... Albuquerque.
Does anyone... All right, go on, carry on.
I want to know now. It feels like there's a story.
I was given a line in Independence Day 2.
Did you get cut?
I lost the line during the day.
Did you get paid?
No, that was why I lost the line. They weren't allowed to pay me, but they couldn't give me the line without paying me. But I wasn't there on a work visa. I was there on a journalist visa.
That's what they
Boring.
Said.
And they cut the whole scene, and it wasn't a deleted scene. I was with a pack of 50 journalists. It was quite an exciting scene, and never see any evidence
of
it.
And that is what you call a group of journalists, a pack.
It's a press pack.
Mm. Yeah, no, it is. It is.
It's and not indeed, being funny, it just is.
Indeed, when they arrive in Aldovia, the paparazzi are the same the world over. Because they're all like, ah, where's the prince? Ah, he's probably shacked up with a countess somewhere. Love it, the sun.
So we're in Aldovia, but all the journalists, all the press are English. And as you said, the entirety of the royal family is English.
Yes, everyone. Like, literally everyone. There's more English people in Aldovia than there are in England. I mean, I don't quite understand. Was it part of the colonies? Like, did we used to own Aldovia? Because that's never made clear.
And I guess it's because It's a bit of a cliche that Americans like the English royals and like to read about them in a way that we don't really like our royals, just generally. Mm. Is that a sweeping generalisation or?
Yeah, I mean, they do seem to know these paparazzis. They do seem to know a lot about the royals in Aldovia, because at the press conference, they're like, when the prince doesn't turn up, they're like, what's taking so long? King Richard would never have done this. That's his dad who has passed away outside the movie.
Yeah, and so the Prince Richard is an international playboy and a socialite. He's left a string of girlfriends and scandals
but
in his wake.
No, he likes to sleep in a tent on a beach. He was finding himself. Turns out he's not how the press have portrayed him. Am I right, Prince Andrew?
Oh, wow. He's not how the press have portrayed him. He's much, much, much more boring. Which is a problem for the film, because we're supposed to fall in love with him at the same time as Amber does. And the most exciting thing he does is hang out with children.
Sorry, he can play the piano. I think you're forgetting that. He can literally play the first Noel. And she says to him, oh my God, you're so talented at that point. Like, I think anyone could play the first Noel. But he's like, yeah, I'm just so sensitive and deep.
Shit,
and
there's a whole piano playing scene in the other movie.
Yes,
there
is.
There is. Okay, good.
Yeah,
right, I have watched the right movies. It's taken me this long, but I know I've watched the right movies.
You
now
just didn't understand the credits at the end when they said screenwriter.
Oh, is that the same? Is screenwriter the guy who writes it?
It was super confusing.
Right.
So she ends up accidentally undercover within the palace.
Not accidentally.
A tutor.
She literally, when the press bus goes back to the hotel and they go, the press conference is over, she goes, fuck that, and sneaks in. Like, she's very, very proactive in going undercover. Doesn't happen by accident.
And they mistake her for the tutor and she kind of just goes along with it, which is when it all starts, the lies, the false... The thing that worries me about both these films, actually, is there...
Christmas is a time for lying. That's the connection. What I find weird is when she gets inside the palace and she's like, oh my God, I'm inside the palace. Before they go, you're the American tutor, come and teach Princess Emily. She's like filming and taking photographs. She spends a long time filming a suit of armour, which I just don't feel would ever make the magazine. Do you know, she's like, oh, look at this armour.
That's why she's still a junior editor.
Yeah. And also, when she's all being surreptitious and trying to film stuff and take photos, never once does she put her phone on silent. So when she's photographing the prince, you can... K-tsh-k, k-tsh-k, k-tsh-k. You're like, this, you're rubbish at this.
It's a beautiful palace, though. It's located in Romania.
It reminds me of one of those fortresses that the Nazis reclaimed as their HQ in a million and one Discovery documentary.
Interesting you should say that, because it has 160 rooms and one of them is the weapons room. And throughout the palace, there are 4,000 weapons. Wow. In real life. Wow. A missed opportunity, I think, to liven things up in this film.
Yeah, but there's no dungeon, because that joke is mentioned a lot.
Okay, so yeah.
To death, that joke.
Emily, you're talking about Emily.
Princess Emily is the person that... It requires an American tutor. Once again, really upsets me that they don't go, so you tutor in America? No joke is made about the idea. It's like she's a tutor from America.
Would that have been a good joke, Vicky?
I think we'd take anything at this point.
Emily's suffering from spina bifida. She is quite angry. Do you think she's actually put journalists in the dungeon? Because when she says that threat, the journalist gets very scared and run off. It suggests to me that she might be doing this shit.
Yeah, it may make you feel that she's done it before and journalists have died on her watch. For sure. But she makes a massive turnaround inside the first 15 minutes.
Because yes.
When you first meet her, she says to poor MacGyver, still funny, who are you and what are you doing in my palace? 15 minutes later, they're best friends.
Yeah.
And that sort of goes nowhere.
Well, it leads to a makeover scene, which is crucial. So when we got to, after MacGyver meets the prince and we've avoided the meet cute moment where she falls over or walks into something, I was like, that's actually quite refreshing, because this film should definitely have a I will bump into you, literally bump into you moment. But then she's
I call it a jellied meet cute.
A jellied meet cute. But then she like literally backs her ass into a 15th century Ming vase for no reason. So you still get that meet cute moment.
Yeah,
and that's when I knew where I was. I was like, there's going to be a reach around. There's going to be...
A what?
a reach around moment.
Do you know what that is?
I do know what that is, but I can't think of a better way to say it.
I didn't see the right movie.
But listen,
what's a reach around?
This is just my way of describing, not that, but the moment in any rom-com where there's physical contact that lingers a little bit longer than it should. So it's the pool cue moment. So it happens in the archery scene in this. And once I knew where I was in the film, I was like, we are going to see certain things in this movie and I fucking love it. So a reach around, not a rude one. A makeover.
Oh, you mean she's literally reaching around him when he's doing his bow or playing pool? Is that what you're talking about?
The reach around in movies like this is him doing it to her.
Yeah, okay.
Or the, yeah.
There was a pool scene.
No, it's the pool cue moment. It's the moment.
You know, when you teach someone.
Right. Yeah, so it's the archery moment in this.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have worked better if the target wasn't within reaching distance of him. It's so close.
It's quite a dangerous thing to do, yeah.
Yeah. I thought he looked like a young Christopher Lambert. That's what I'm saying about the prince.
Okay.
Sort of. I thought he looked better with a beard, by the way. Just, I know no one.
Because he looks like Tom Hardy.
Well, he also looks less like a wax figurine, which he sort of does for the rest of the movie. He's got quite a lot of glistening makeup on.
So while they're slowly but surely falling in love, we have some intrigue and some drama courtesy of Cousin Simon and Lady Sophia.
Oh, evil Rupert Everett.
Cheap Rupert.
Budget Rupert Everett.
Cousin Simon, in the style of Ben Kingsley, insists on being called Lord Duxbury. You know this with Ben Kingsley.
I do. Do you want to tell the story for anyone who doesn't know it?
You do it.
Well, apparently, and it's never happened to me.
No, it has happened to me.
Oh, well, you tell it then.
Okay, yeah. Before you interview Ben Kingsley, you are told that you have to address him as Sir Ben.
Yeah, it's always on the posters in the film.
And that he won't answer to Ben, which made me super annoyed, actually.
You?
Because I also know that Michael Caine insists on not being called Sir.
So does Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Nearly called him Sir. Sorry, Ian.
Fuck off, Kingsley. So I just didn't use his name. Rather than get... It just annoyed me. It's like...
What did you call him?
I didn't use his name.
Again, I don't know if this
Gandhi,
is...
all right, Gandhi. Could have let an Indian actor have that part, couldn't you? You twat.
Yeah, I'm going to just leave that hanging there. Probably not going
to
join in off the back of this. No. Big fan of your work, Sir Ben.
Lady Sophia's good fun, though,
She's fantastic.
Comes in a red dress.
In a red dress. And then when she gives Prince Richard the Christmas decoration, she's like, put it on the tree. Be gentle with it. It's like, be gentle with my boobs, more like.
Yeah, am I right? Sick.
There's a lot made of Amber's footwear, and she says, fascinating choice of shoes. She's just there to say bitchy things and cause trouble. And
yeah,
she's so much fun. I wish she was in the film a bit more.
Yeah, because there's a scene after the famous makeover. I called the famous makeover scene. The makeover scene, where she gets all dressed up and comes down the stairs, proper Cinderella moment to the ball where the prince and her are clearly falling in love. And budget Rupert Everett goes, she cleans up nicely. And Lady Sophia goes, lipstick on a pig! It's great.
It's a great
moment because it's just so over the top.
I was pretty shocked by the effect that this film had on my better half, who normally just doesn't say nasty things about anyone or anything. Both these films seem to really annoy her. In that moment, she said, Amber looks frumpy in that dress.
Oh!
And I was like, what?
It's an awful dress.
It is terrible.
Awful. Yeah.
It's a great makeover scene as these things go, because you see the rack of clothes and Princess Emma's like, I'm making this up actually, I can't remember it. Does she say, he'll do shoes, he'll do makeup, he'll do frocks, whatever.
Yeah. Or as they say in America, the works.
The works. So as a makeover scene, you're like, yeah, it's going to be brilliant. And then I thought, oh, those gloves don't work.
Georgina also wasn't impressed with all the fairy lights in the palace. She didn't think there'd be fairy lights in a palace.
There'd be proper lights.
Proper lights.
I think it's worth saying that MacGyver is the kind of person who, when she makes notes on her laptop, she just types out her inner monologue.
Yeah.
Oh, I typed out all her notes and I bloody deleted them by accident. There were so many funny things in her notes.
Yeah. I should start digging deeper. I need to find out more about the prince. It's like, just think it. Type it up in a Word doc.
And so many exclamation marks as well. Yeah.
Just because she's young, though, that's fine. Mm.
And she's just learning how to use a computer. Yeah, normally, it'd be by letter.
That's so true. So has anyone got a stamp?
Where is my calligraphy set? I must make a note to myself. Pass me my quill.
In reference to Prince Richard, did you spot the gay blowjob joke?
No.
No.
Someone says, women fall at his feet, men too sometimes. I think he says it.
Yeah, he says it. Yeah. So what happens is she says to him, they're going for their romantic walk scene. Mm-hmm. And she says to him, you must have women falling at your feet. And he goes, men too sometimes. Just take the compliment.
That's not a blowjob job.
No, it's not. Is. It's not.
It is.
It's not.
It isn't.
It is. Trust me, I've had them before. That's a blowjob
I will not laugh.
Too late.
Can we talk about the horse ride scene?
Yes!
And how that progresses.
Oh my God.
I can't remember because it's in the other one.
So this is it's actually just a scene cut and pasted from Beauty and the Beast.
Mm. It's not the one where she gets snarled at by a wolf for
yes,
a bit.
Yes, it is. Oh, right. It is.
So he goes off riding on his horse and she's like, I'm going to follow him and see where he's going.
Yeah.
And so she sees a horse and there's a saddle next to the horse. And so she puts the saddle on the horse and she starts riding off with the horse, and then halfway through the ride, the horse basically dumps her in the middle of the woods. My narrative went, I think this is amazing. I think the horse set that up from the start. I think the horse put the saddle next to it and went, go on, get on my back. Nothing bad's going to happen. I'm definitely not intentionally going to drop you in the fucking woods. The film changes tone pretty quickly at that point. Yeah. The horse ditches her in the woods and the wolf shows up and it's pretty scary for a plastic wolf.
Prince Richard rescues her. They go to his log cabin.
Right. How does he rescue her?
He walks up to her. What does he do? I can't remember.
Oh, he pulls a gun.
And why is the first thing she says not, what the fuck are you doing with a gun? Why do you go riding with a handgun? He literally turns up, fires a couple of shots in the air, and you're like, why has he got a gun?
Yeah, fair, that is a fair
And
point.
Maybe it's a reference to the weapons.
Yeah.
In the fortress, the Nazi fortress.
Or his weapon, back to the blowjob joke.
Not a blowjob joke.
And then it all gets a bit convoluted, the plot.
I thought it was fucking brilliant. You've got all these tick points for a rom-com, and then I was literally not expecting a riddle / mystery. I thought it was brilliant. It's a riddle. I was like, oh my God, a riddle! And then I figured it out.
Yeah, it's proper Agatha Christie stuff.
It kicks off with her finding a secret compartment in a desk that has birth certificates and adoption papers. So Prince Richard was adopted and he's not part of the royal bloodline, therefore maybe he shouldn't be king.
Mm.
And that leads on to another... the mystery, as you say, which is inside a carved acorn.
It's a piece of legislature mm-hmm. hidden inside...
What is it?
A legislative amendment hidden inside a ginormous wooden acorn. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Tick, tick.
The acorn's great. The other ornaments that they put on the tree, though, are bears. And there's a really weird bit of dialogue where the queen... The deceased King Richard's
the
wife.
The Borg Queen from Star Trek, which is so distracting.
Alice Krieg,
yeah.
Who was quite sexy. Do you ever see Sleepwalkers, Stephen King, where she was a vampire?
Oh, no. Good film. Wow. But do you not remember the scene where they're carved bears and she goes, King Richard called them elephants, but they're bears. And they are bears. And it's like... Why
did he call them elephants?
Was he not well towards the end?
Who knows?
Right?
But
we don't learn a lot about him, you know. All we really learn is that he was a believer in fresh air and exercise. That's about the only description of him.
We learn that he's fucking weird because he decided to amend a law and then turn it into a riddle and then create a scavenger hunt and hide it in an acorn as a romantic gesture to his wife.
Mm.
That is a weird plan. And then he died.
And
don't forget the acorn. Big reveal.
And so there's a bit of drama. Cousin Simon and Lady Sophia try to steal the throne.
Yeah.
Which leads to a scene where Richard is being sworn as a king, in as king, and it's like marriage vows. Anyone can object, apparently, in Aldovia.
I love that. But the best part of that scene... is where Lady Sophia reveals that MacGyver is a journalist and they've just found out the prince is adopted and the prime minister turns to her and goes, is that true that you're a journalist? And she goes, I am. And you're like, he was adopted. The prince was a... That's the big news. Yeah. Not the fact that she's a journalist. You just found out he was adopted.
She's not even a journalist. She's a junior editor.
She's a junior editor. She's not even a good junior
talking
editor.
Talking herself up. Are you a journalist? Yeah, yeah, I am.
Could be, actually. Yeah, why not?
Kind of a big deal back in NYC, Chicago.
And so it all gets solved. She goes back to New York and writes a blog about it, which gets 20,000 likes in 3 days. Average. I'm not that impressive. And then the prince shows up and proposes to her on midnight New Year's Eve, and that's it. It ends with two commoners sitting on the Aldovian throne.
Oi, all right, Lady Sophia. I saw you riding back with that peasant. Yeah, it's nice, though, the New York stuff. Her dad is literally the most positive human being in the world.
He's a human fortune cookie.
Yeah.
Stay true to your dreams and success will follow.
Yeah.
Not the only human fortune cookie in this double bill.
But the best bit is where she rings him up when she's like been discovered as a journalist and she's leaving Aldovia, the made-up country Aldovia, and she's on the phone to him and she's like, I failed, I totally screwed up, I crashed, I burned. And he's like, ah, learning experience. It's like, right, but she's really pouring her heart out. So he's like, yeah, you know, life goes on, kiddo.
Also, the timeline, why is she not like, Dad, I've spent all night in an airport. This is such a shit way to spend Christmas.
Did you like him then, the dad?
No.
Yes.
Oh, because I believe, obviously, there's been two.
He's dead now.
No, he
well
was.
Done,
he was, no, he was recast for parts 2 and 3 because there's been 2 sequels to this. Okay. So they got rid of him. Pretty smart.
Hello, next week.
I didn't actually read about part 2 or 3, which maybe I should have as I was presenting, but I did watch the trailer for part 3, in which there's a potentially cursed royal baby, which I quite like the idea.
Like Damien?
There might be a curse on that while it's in her belly.
Oh my God, that's so fascinating. When we come to the bits, I got something on that. My problem is when they put the crown on his head, yeah, I mean, sure, you're working on a budget. It's going straight to Netflix. Get a prop crown that fits. Yeah. It literally looks like it's going to topple off his head at any moment. They sort of wedge it on and he looks uncomfortable. The whole scene's uncomfortable.
Agreed. Did you watch the post-credit scene?
Oh, God. No. The minute it went direct about, I was like, bite
jingle,
off!
Jingle, done.
No, there's a scene where Amber goes to Snappy Photos to pick up her Christmas prints.
Are you like, shut up?
What, like The Hangover? Is that a Hangover reference?
No, Prince. Prince.
It's making,
right.
Inverted commas joke.
Yep, got you. No. I just thought it'd be hilarious if there were loads, like them doing loads of gack together.
Your misunderstanding of his joke is funnier than his joke.
Oh, I was so excited about that.
Well, sorry, being mean. It's Christmas.
I had a few years ago, I had some emails back and forth with an actress in this film. The woman who plays Mrs. Averill. Did you recognise her?
Who the fuck's that?
She was like, she worked in the palace. She was like...
Oh, the stern one.
Stern lady.
The stern one is like...
Did you recognise her?
Get out of here, you're not coming back. And she goes, I can prove something. She's like, come upstairs immediately.
Did you recognise her?
No.
You definitely know. She's Ursa from Superman 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Okay.
The villainous Ursa.
Yeah, the bad one.
Yeah, that's her.
Okay, that's nice.
Why did you email her?
So I dated...
I got something to tell you about Ben Kingsley.
I dated someone whose favourite character in all of cinema was Ursa from Superman 2. And right. So I bought... She sold signed photos and then it didn't show up. So I messaged her and she was so lovely and sent a bunch of them back to me.
You didn't think to like get hold of Royal Mail first or DPD to be like, where's my signed photos? You just went straight to the source. Like, sorry to bother you. The stuff I bought off eBay hasn't turned up.
She hadn't sent them. She was very apologetic.
Okay.
She's not as evil in real life.
Did you leave her a review?
Great feedback.
Loved you in Superman 2. But your mailing is really letting you down.
And V, she was in V as well.
Never watched V.
Oh. Did you read about the tweet that Netflix sent out the week after this was released that got them in quite a lot of trouble?
No.
So
just to absolutely be very clear with you, I did nothing around this movie other than watch it and then hate it.
Well, I remember this was a news story at the time, back in Christmas 2017. They tweeted... 53 people have watched A Christmas Prince in the last... 53 people have watched our new Christmas film every day for the last 18 days in a row. And then they wrote, who hurt you? ? Implying that these people were deeply troubled. And it caused outcry because people didn't realise how closer tabs Netflix were keeping on their viewing habits, and also thought it was a bit rude to sort of mock their choices as well of what to watch. But yeah.
So Netflix knows what I've watched on there.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, that's good to know.
They know.
I thought they didn't reveal their viewing figures ever, other than when Adam Sandler releases something and they go, everyone in the world has seen this for some reason.
I mean, this was pretty specific. 53 people had watched it 18 days in a row.
Okay.
I mean, it is a bit weird. I mean, I did that this week.
Honestly, I love it. I think we should do a new section on the show, sort of stats. I think stats are fun.
I suppose it's the natural follow-on from facts, isn't it? Yeah. Facts, then stats. Mm.
Fake news. Right, should we do our categories then?
Yes.
So, what was your favourite scene, Vicky?
I think I'm going to have to say the archery reach around. I've mentioned it earlier. It's why are you creasing? You've made a blowjob joke already today. Various other unsavory things.
I didn't. It was in the film.
It wasn't.
You just didn't understand it.
I just love that rom-com moment. And the minute I saw him holding a bow and arrow, I was like, this is going to happen in the next 30 seconds. Or I don't know what I'm talking about. And I do. So I was pleased to see it.
Did you know that she was going to fire the arrow through a window?
I was a little bit shocked by that. I thought it would either hit something priceless once again.
It did.
What, a window?
No, it went through the window and pierced the horse's behind on the painting.
Did it?
Yeah, yeah.
I must have blinked and missed
it. It looks like quite an expensive painting.
Oh, but then I was still right.
Yeah, you were, yeah.
That's weird, isn't it? So I do know what I'm doing. Yeah. So that's my favourite scene.
Nice. Alex?
I quite like the duplicitous horse that tricks her into taking a ride.
I thought you were going to say duplicitous whore. Harsh on Lady Sophia.
What's wrong with you today? But yeah, the duplicitous horse that leaves the saddle out and goes, ride me. And then she does and it goes, ah, gotcha. Either that or, is that true? Are you a journalist? I am. One of those two.
I liked when it turned into Beauty and the Beast. Who was your favourite character? MVC.
Lady Sophia's pearl necklace. I just wanted to say it, but it's also true.
She's well pleased with that, isn't she?
I've been waiting to say that for about 4 days. I nearly texted her, was like, no, hold on to it. Because it completely de-ages her. She's probably about 22, but every time she's got that pearl necklace on, she could be any age. She becomes like a supernatural villain because you can't tell how old she is. All because of a three-tiered pearl necklace. That's the power of jewellery.
I didn't even notice it, did you?
I honestly did not, but I get it. Mm-hmm. I get why it's good.
Then again, I completely missed the reach around as well. MVC Alex?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with the wolf. I just loved it. I was like, it turned up and I was like, it was a real adrenaline shot at that point. So I was like, fuck this movie. Oh my God, there's a fucking wolf.
An angry wolf.
Yeah, it was pissed off.
All I have written down is cardboard wolf. So
yay! Samesies!
And what, if anything, would you change, Vicky? Go to you again.
I would make more of Christmas Day. So the Christmas Eve race to the airport, but it isn't a race to the airport because no one goes after it. And then she spent all night in the airport. And then on Christmas Day, all we get is quite a boring coronation scene. We don't get to see what Christmas Day in the palace is actually like and that it's been ruined. So that's what should happen.
Alex?
So this is what I think. Magic. I think there should be more magic in this. And something, well, either King Richard comes back as a ghost at some point and goes...
And says, the acorn.
yeah. Open the acorn.
But in a dream.
And also get fresh air and exercise. The two
They're so important.
I believe. And poetry. Read more poetry.
Don't hide things in desks.
Ooh, either that or... because Lady Sophia just sort of walks off at the end and it's like, see ya. Oh, yeah, we're not getting married or going on honeymoon. I'm off. I think because of her cutting line to MacGyver, where she goes, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. I think she should be turned into a lipstick wearing pig by a wizard at the end.
It's a brilliant idea.
One of those two.
That's good.
Thanks.
Mine is that I feel like Aldovia should be more progressive. It's quite a sexist kingdom.
You mean less like part of the British Empire?
And I feel like there should have been a decree that Emily could have become queen. because it completely is supposed to bypass her.
And she's already got that whole, what are you doing in my palace shit sort
of. Got that down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, more progressive Aldovia. Before we move on to the next one, you guys remember I was going to do a bonus quiz this week?
You are doing the quiz this week.
Oh, am I?
Yes, yeah. It's not really a bonus quiz because that would imply that I had a quiz as well. But I really feel that the quiz thing is your thing.
Should we do it now or do you want to wait till the end?
Is it based on both movies?
It's more referencing this one.
Oh, let's do it.
Let's do it now.
Do you want to do a little quiz interlude, V?
Sure. Sorry.
So this film got me thinking about a movie trope that I'm not sure about. It's about whenever a woman plays a journalist in a film, she almost always has to sleep with whoever she's investigating or fall in love with them. If a man plays a journalist,
blowjob,
that rarely happens. If a woman does it, it almost always happens. So this quiz is called Women Just Can't Help Themselves.
Wow.
I'm going to give you...
Now I'm listening.
I knew you would. I'm going to give you the... Just to underline how often this happens, I'm going to give you the actress and then give you a little bit about what happens in the film. I need you to tell me the film.
Okay.
So,
I get it. Did you look at me like, do you understand? Yeah,
I understand. That has been a problem traditionally with our quizzes.
Well explained then. This time I completely understand.
I'd like to be clear. Okay. Margot Kidder plays a reporter who
falls... Wait, what are we trying to work out?
Plays a reporter who falls for the alien
Superman.
She has been... There we go.
Jesus. Come on, wake up.
Superman.
Be happy. Don't... Sorry. You should want to
We're
win.
In competition with each other, but bless you, I appreciate that. Come on, you could have got that. You could have got that before me and then you'd be winning.
Should get it at Margot Kidder. Go on.
Drew Barrymore.
Kiss the girls.
Plays a copy
where
editor.
Where she goes back to school.
Who goes undercover
Never
in school.
Never been kissed.
Yeah. You see, you told him the film. Amy Schumer falls in love with the sports doctor.
Train wreck!
Fuck! Now I'm interested.
That's too
much. I knew it should be good. Maggie Gyllenhaal plays a journalist.
Secretary! Secretary.
Who sleeps with the alcoholic country singer she's writing about.
Crazy Heart?
Yeah! Oh. Kim Basinger plays a photojournalist who...
Batman!
Yeah, it's Batman!
Damn it.
Okay. Rosario Dawson plays a New York Times reporter who hooks up with the comedian slash actor she is shadowing.
Top five.
Yep. Who is played by comedian slash actor Chris Rock. Courtney Cox plays a reporter who hooks up with
Scream.
A deputy.
Oh fuck.
yeah. I woke up suddenly. You told me to wake up. I woke up.
Kate Hudson plays a writer who
plots to date a guy.
Almost famous.
Then drive him away for the sake of a magazine article.
Oh, 10 ways to 10 to the 10 things I hate about. No, what is it? The 10 how to lose a guy in 10 days.
Yes. Vicky, come on. Judy Greer plays a photojournalist who has sex with soldier George Clooney for intelligence. Think of a film where George Clooney plays a soldier.
Three Kings?
It is.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That was a literal guess.
yeah. Could you tell? The bit where I was like, Three Kings?
Yeah.
Question mark?
ER?
Katie Holmes plays a reporter who sleeps with tobacco lobbyist Aaron Eckhart.
Cigarettes and cigarettes.
That lime thing.
Then publishes an expose on him.
Stop smoking. Something about smoking. It's smoking one. It's how to stop smoking.
No, thank you for smoking.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, God.
Nicole Kidman plays a TV journalist who sleeps with one of the teenagers.
Oh,
hello. She's making a comeback.
Yes.
Two left, one tougher than the other. And then this is getting close. Scarlett Johansson plays a journalism student who goes undercover to investigate murderer Hugh Jackman, but ends up falling for him. This is a Woody Allen film.
No.
No. Okay. I think we'll just go like that.
Oh, don't ask me.
You can guess at any point.
No, I don't know it.
Yep.
Scoop. And finally, Leslie Bibb plays a Vanity Fair writer who sleeps with her Playboy billionaire assignment.
Nope.
Sorry. No.
Is it like...
He's also a superhero.
Is it... Hancock.
Played by... And you've got to give me the right film. Played by Robert Downey Jr.
Iron Man 2!
Yes! Oh. All right, got a toe. So there's a lot of these films, though, where that's the plot line. I was trying to make a political point.
Thanks, Chris.
Vicky.
Yeah, but who won,
though? One, two, three, four, five. And Alex, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Alex won the quiz.
Whoa!
Right, I just wanted to say I was going to give you your Christmas presents, and now I'm not because I'm annoyed, and also we don't have time because of that stupid quiz. So you'll have to have them in the pub. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
But we are still getting them because it doesn't really feel
I'm not that mean.
It's not like bad news, really. It just means we get them later. By about 20 minutes.
In a more convivial setting, right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right then. So that is a Christmas prince, a Princemas Chris.
Hello. You can call me that from now on.
Princemas Chris. Moving on from 2018, Victoria, you had the Princess Switch.
They say life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Not true. Life is what happens when you're watching the Princess Switch in your house pants eating a grab bag of mini twirls. Sorry, I'm not doing it again. It's a tale as old as time. Two identical girls swap places. One gets to live like a total princess, enjoying a lifetime of sumptuous excess. And the other girl has to live with the world's most sexless man and his exposition device, I mean child, and bake fucking biscuits forever at the end.
I disagree. Kevin is hot.
He's got
fuck.
A nice chest.
Oh my God, that scene where he walks in with his top off.
Yeah,
I was like,
that's great.
I love the Princess Switch. This is something, huh? He's beautiful.
So that's the plot, basically. Vanessa Hudgens, she's so cute and she's making biscuits. And then she gets entered into a fancy baking competition in Belgravia, which is a Central European made up country.
Question?
Yeah.
Is it the same actress playing both roles?
Asking for a friend. yes.
Okay.
And then after, well, that's it. She goes to Belgravia. She meets a prince.
That's not it. There's a lot more.
Oh, sorry. It's longer than the other film, but a lot of it is the same. The prince nearly runs over her in a car, which also happens in A Christmas Prince. And after some confusion involving... She goes to the baking competition. Her nemesis spills a bit of tea or something on her, but on an apron. And then she's like, I simply must change this apron.
Yeah, which is
even though
of...
that's what they're for.
Right, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So they meet each other and, oh, snap, they're the same. Mm. And they absorb that very well and very quickly. And then a plot is hatched in which they will swap places so that the Duchess, who is called Margaret, will swap places with Stacey, who is a baker. So then you've got Stacey as Margaret, Margaret as Stacey.
Well, so it's Margaret's idea. And I felt that scene I found weird. It felt like Margaret had been planning this for a long time. She seemed quite sinister in that scene, I thought.
She did.
Why did Margaret want to do this?
Right, I don't get it.
So this is what I meant in the intro when I was, is it a bet? Is it a dare? She wanted to live like a normal person.
To see what it's like, because she doesn't know her own mind, because she's lived this closeted, moneyed life.
Right.
What I didn't understand was when she meets someone who is her twin, she doesn't just go, yeah, let's swap. You get to like have all my money and clothes and shoes and whatever. And then why does she not just go back to Stacey's house, steal her passport, shag her way through Europe? It makes no sense to me. She'd be like, I'll just live with Kevin, I suppose. Like, why?
But they also
I just give all my toothpaste away to Kevin also. Like, get your own fucking toothpaste, Kevin.
By the way, Kevin hasn't brought his toothpaste with him. He only notices after 2 days. He hasn't cleaned his teeth for 2 days.
And he eats a lot of sugar. So, I mean, his mouth is rotting.
But they make it clear that Margaret is camera shy and no one knows what she looks like. Therefore, she could go out on her own on the streets.
Oh, that's true.
And be a normal person. Because she's anonymous. So that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, this whole normal person like stuff, that kind of bothers me, especially at the end, the big finale. I know we're jumping forward where Margaret ends up with Kevin because she falls in love with Kevin. And she actually says to him, normal girls fall in love with normal boys like you, Kevin. Did you think you were special? You're not. You're normal.
No, it's a sick burn.
Buy some fucking toothpaste.
It's a sick burn.
So there are lots of other things that are exactly the same as a Christmas prince, a Christmas Chris.
Oh, have you made the list?
I've made a list of the ones I noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a horse ride.
Yeah.
There's a snowball fight.
Yeah.
There's no makeover scene, which is actually a mistake because that's half the reason to watch these films.
Yeah.
There's a dance. Everyone knows how to dance. Do you know how to do a box waltz? Can I just have a show of hands?
Yep.
No. No one
does. Do you
not?
No,
I don't.
Wow.
Honestly, if someone came up to me and said, shall we dance?
Chris, shall we show her?
I would have to run off.
You don't know how to waltz?
I know the timing. 1, 2, 3. But I don't know how to do the steps. Are you taking the piss?
No, I know how to waltz.
Why?
Have you not seen him waltz?
Did you go to a good school?
Actually, it was at school doing a production of My Fair Lady.
Today's physical education will be learning the waltz. Christopher, would you like to show the class?
I'll spin you around the pub later.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I look forward to that.
Yeah, and then I'll give you a reach around.
Okay.
Like the archery thing.
Yeah, you
like
can
the
teach me how to play pool. Yeah, it's still very, very questionable.
Yeah, pool, blowjob, dope.
There's some orphans in it.
Yep.
Grateful orphans.
Yep.
Got that. I've got orphans written down.
Dead parents.
Yep.
That annoyed the shit out of me. Mm. Just to go back to A Christmas Prince, when she says, my mum died of leukemia, that fucks me off so much. The acceptable film face of cancer, never bowel cancer. Mm. Moving on. They watch A Christmas Prince in The Princess Switch. So it goes very meta for 30 seconds.
Because they're written by the same bloke.
Oh yeah, I forgot. That's just, it was cheaper to do it that way. We'll pick up your shop and move it here. It ends on a wedding proposal. There's just...
Have I
mentioned the horse?
There are a couple of big
castles.
Differences, though.
Princes with long faces.
But I thought you'd immediately prefer the Princess Switch, Victoria, because she's very relatable to you and I, because she says she has a lazy eye when she gets fatigued. And I was like, oh, I had nothing on you, and now I feel like we're the same. And then I realised it was a joke, and I felt mocked.
We were being mocked.
We were, weren't
yeah,
we?
For comic effect.
Apparently, that's okay. Like,
apparently,
you know,
that's okay.
Yeah.
We just haven't advocated for ourselves loudly enough, but that ends now.
The biggest difference, however, is how obsessed the prince in The Princess Switch is with an alien invasion. Throughout the movie, it feels like he knows something that is never referenced. He says when they're shopping for toys for the kids, he goes, oh, I've always wanted one of these laser guns. And she's like, oh, yeah, you could defend us against an alien invasion. He was like, no, diplomacy is how you deal with an alien invasion, not warfare.
And is it actually
And he keeps mentioning it throughout the movie.
Or lots of playing of Twister, which I found a bit weird. And also disgusting.
Yeah, like, and also, how stupid is he when he goes, oh, look, a mat with colours on it, colours of dots. It's like, you know what Twister is. Like, you're not, no one's that sheltered.
And as a flirting device, I think it's had its day.
Yeah, so there's no toys for the children in Aldovia.
It's just Twister.
Sorry, Belgravia. I feel like austerity has hit this country hard. It seems like quite a shitty country to me, actually.
Yeah, I just got really confused that it's called Belgravia and then the stadium. And it's called Wembley.
The studio is called Wembley.
That's Wembley, right. Studios. I just feel like the writer went, I bet people who watch this have never been to London. And Belgravia will do.
And the orphanage, slash shelter is St Andrews.
Welcome to Tower Hamlets, the kingdom of Stoke Newington.
I will take you on a journey to Kendall Rise.
Well, this is a fun game.
The ceremony is happening in Peckham.
So they learn each other's...
You know, don't want to play the game?
No.
Don't, not going to throw one in there?
Gone on a bit too long.
Okay. Okay. I like this scene set on Good Street. Still going.
That's good. So they learn about each other's life and personality traits in the space of 2 or 3 hours, it feels like, in the makeover sequence. How long do you think it would take to learn each other's personality traits? I was thinking about this. I reckon I could learn Vicky in about 3 hours, and I reckon I could learn Alex in about 3 years.
Are you saying he's more mysterious than me?
Enigmatic is the word I like to use, but yes, okay.
You've
mysterious.
Got that such back to front.
I think
it's
I could.
It's gone now. It's out there.
I think I could convince your family
that you were me.
Yes. It would take me 3 hours, whereas Alex, he's a mystery to me.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not. He's such an open book.
Not in a good way.
Yeah.
Oh, see? It was going so well for me over here. I knew it couldn't last.
Just something that occurred to me. What are your thoughts on Olivia? I think she's called Olivia.
Who the fuck is Olivia?
She's
Kevin's
cute,
daughter.
The cute child.
Oh, who yeah. I feel like has been orchestrating. I feel like she's the puppet master in this. She gets to go to Belgravia.
She gets a ballet scholarship.
She gets a ballet scholarship.
Little hustler.
She gets her dad to marry a princess, which means she's going to be a princess.
Yeah.
I think there's something sinister going on with her. I don't trust her.
But she's a child in a Christmas movie, so there are certain things that she has to do. She has to ask Father Christmas for a new mom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That was like, geez, load it onto poor Kevin. He hasn't even got any toothpaste, and now he needs to get a mom for you as well?
Way to guilt
and that's her Christmas
dad.
Wish. Christmas wish is a thing. You make a wish on your birthday.
Oh, shit. What about the old guy?
He's called Kindly Old Man in the credits.
Possibly magic.
And he appears to be a stalker.
Yeah. He is not kindly. He is terrifying.
So explain. He shows up at the start of the film.
He's at the start in Chicago, and he just starts talking to her and goes, "Oh, I see Christmas wishes coming from you. Maybe they'll come true."
Saying fortune cookie things, a bit like the other film.
Then bang, they're in Belgravia, and he's there, and she goes, didn't I see you in Chicago just last week? And he looks at her in the most terrifying way and goes, "How could I have been in Chicago?" Last week.
Yeah. On a plane.
Which makes no sense. But yeah, because she was in Chicago last week, so therefore he could
the
have been in Chicago.
Same way I did it.
But he shows up. He could be magical. He could be an elf or could be Santa, but they never explain anything. It never pays off. You think he maybe will show up at the wedding at the end?
The problem with him is in two scenes, both times when characters walk away from him, he's meant to look after them in a kind of knowing, I know your future kind of way. I swear, it's the best bit about this film. He looks like he's sniffing them.
Oh.
He looks like he goes, as they walk away, like, I can smell you. Honestly, he does this weird thing where he raises his nostrils slightly and inhales. Like Miggs in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Speaking of nasty, Kevin
ruined this film now.
Kevin doesn't clean his teeth.
I'll never watch it again.
Kevin doesn't clean his teeth. He suggests going and pop the corn, which no one should ever say. You just go and get the popcorn. You don't pop the corn.
Why don't you make it yourself?
Yeah, Chris.
I'd say I'm going to go and make some popcorn.
Yeah.
I know. I'd pop the corn.
Do you think
that's why you're such a mystery.
Yeah.
You're such an enigma.
That's it. Neither of you expected me to be the kind of guy who went, I pop the corn.
I found
a fan theory
online.
Slapping
the beast, man. Popping the corn.
Suggesting that... No worries.
So I just need to get this out. No, stop. All right, I'm all right.
Good.
I found a fan theory online that suggests that
Wait,
maybe
what?
Kevin...
The, This film has fans, yeah. and those fans yeah. have theories.
Yeah.
Okay.
That Kevin might have killed his wife.
That made me laugh my ass off.
Yeah, he's in love with Stacey, so he killed his wife, and then Stacey won't have him, so he goes for the next best thing.
Yeah, and he does paint a reindeer on a bauble, which is described as Rudolph the blood-sucking reindeer, which I think was his sort of way of admitting his murder.
Mm.
Vicky, I feel like you're our oftentimes moral compass on this podcast.
Thank you so much.
In the Me Too era, the post-Me Too era, are these girls, their use of lies and identity theft to get mouth access?
Mouth access?
Vis-a-vis kissing.
Mouth access?
Is this
You
issue?
Don't say popping the corn or pop the corn, but you do say mouth
and
access.
You can give someone a blowjob on their foot.
No, but you get down on your knees.
But does it say knees? He says they fall at my feet. If he said they got on their knees.
Hey, it's that long.
La, yo.
Trailing behind him like a tail.
Oh my God.
Is it problematic that these
just
girls.
Like picking up fluff and like old receipts.
Buy a fucking Hoover.
How's it picking him up? It hasn't got hands.
No, because it might still be a bit damp on the tip. It's like stuff's getting stuck to it.
Oh, we've lost a lot of listeners in the last 30 seconds.
Nonsense.
Do you mean when we said we were doing the Princess Switch?
Do you mean an hour ago?
People who like these films, who might have tuned in because they saw the titles, have definitely switched off.
Just to very quickly answer your question, it's absolutely fine. Power structures are different. Do what you got to do. I have no problem with it.
Kevin,
why do you expect women to be perfect and virtuous constantly? is my question back at you, Prince Christmas.
This is completely perverted. Kevin thinks he's kissing his best friend. He's kissing a stranger.
What, and he's never lied to a woman. Fucking
well, he killed his wife.
But he did.
But
try
we don't know if he lied to her.
He tried to admit to it, though. He has sort of come out.
He's reaching out, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. Someone
reaching round.
He's carrying guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the horse reference in this is possibly my favourite horse reference in a film, where which one of Vanessa Hudgens goes, a warm horse is a happy horse. And there's nothing better than a happy horse.
It was weird, wasn't it? And when she walks into the stables and it's in slow-mo, they're like, check her in riding gear. That was an odd moment.
Yeah.
And then also when he's going to do the kiss and he does the classic, you've got something in your eye, and tries to like poke her in the eye. Like, has that ever worked in the history of these things? You've got something in your eye. Oh, really sorry. I'll just obviously fix that myself because it's my eye.
Sorry, yeah. No, I had it in my head that he might have gone, you know, next level and sort of licked a handkerchief and cleaned round her mouth. You know, like your mum used
to do. A bit of lunch.
Yeah, you got some food just caught in your teeth. Like, oh, yeah, suck it out, yeah. So another thing that I have a problem with in this movie is the piano bit. No one can learn the piano that fast when they go, play the piano. And he goes, why don't we duet? And then she somehow manages to play it. Also, that scene would work better if they'd gone, play the piano. She'd gone, I can't, because she can't, because she's not really the princess. And then she'd sat down and played chopsticks.
I thought it would be brilliant if she sat down and been like pretending, I can't. And they're just like, bang, it's the Nutcracker Suite. I can do anything. Brilliant.
Or if the piano had been on the floor, like big.
Yeah. Yes.
That would have been better.
Would have been cute.
So they set
that's
her up
a
as
a great movie.
They set her up as a baker. She goes to Belgravia for a baking contest against her rival.
Mm.
And it just seems like this completely pointless subplot that goes absolutely nowhere,
yeah,
and doesn't need to be in the film.
Yeah. When you called her nemesis earlier, I'm like, her nemesis.
I'm overdoing it a bit.
Is herself. It's certainly not that woman.
Not Brianna.
Is that what her name is?
She's called Brianna. Yeah.
Brianna. What?
We've said nothing about the prince in this film. What were your feelings about him, Vicky?
I think it's odd that as he is becoming increasingly attracted to Vanessa Hudgens as the Duchess, he says to her with a twinkle in his eye, you remind me of my grandmother. And then I thought, oh,
yeah,
now you
want
to shag her
thing.
More? That's weird.
No, but her grandmother was like
this... Yeah, I get it. This rebel. Yeah, because right. She spoke her mind.
Yeah.
The mad bitch.
I know, but he does come round because he's like, listen, you got any opinions on state affairs? I want to hear them.
I want to hear them. Might not necessarily do anything with them, but yeah. You talk as much as you want.
He does sing the song that plays over the opening credits, Bring the Snow, which I liked enough to download on Spotify.
He sings the theme tune?
Yeah, he's a musician. Oh. He was on the TV show Nashville is what got him famous.
Oh, really?
Although he's a Brit.
Who? Yeah. Who's this? The Prince?
Yeah, Prince. Sam Palladio. And I think it's a really good song.
I can't remember it.
Yeah, sorry, got nothing on songs.
Sure. So which of the two guys would you have gone for? The Prince or Kevin the Wife Killer?
If Kevin walked around with no top on, all the time.
And brushed his fucking teeth.
Brushed his goddamn teeth. No, I would go for the Prince because I would like an easy life.
Yeah.
I don't want to work for money. I'm a shit baker, mm-hmm. as you might expect. Did you expect that? Since you can deduct my personality in 3 hours. I can't bake. Spoiler.
I think it'd be can quicker, I bake, to, it'd Chris? Be quicker for you to tell me what you can do.
Can I bake?
No, of course you can't.
I actually can.
Oh my god.
Can you bake well?
No, oh god, no.
No, you can open an oven and put something in it.
Yeah, that's baking, right?
What was the last thing you baked?
Some frozen.
He's looking up like a liar does, you know, looking to the ceiling.
You've turned into Darren Brown in like the last 10 minutes.
Went to school with him.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're lying.
His dad taught me to swim. And his dad was Bobby Brown, who was the school swimming teacher, and he was called Darren back then, not Darren.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that fact.
I didn't know him because he was that much older than me, but I have met him since then, and we've talked about school.
Cool.
Sorry, what? You've had time to think now. What was the last thing you baked?
Oh, yeah.
Alaska.
A wedding cake, actually.
Oh, that's unprofessional.
Sorry, yeah, I left my phone on in
who
the
is
room.
It? Answer.
It's my mum.
Let's say hello to your mum.
Hello, mum.
Hello.
Hello, I'm just recording the podcast at the moment. Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine. I'll speak to you later.
Hi, ma'am.
Chris says hello.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi, Pam.
Vicky says hi as well.
Enjoy your program podcasting.
Thanks, love.
Thanks, Pam.
Thanks, mum.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was nice. We should have asked her what the last thing you baked was. He still hasn't said anything. Let's just move on.
Yeah, fine. I honestly can't remember, but it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Shall we do the bits?
Just one thing
to say.
No, actually, I will make it one of my bits.
Yeah, I was just doing the same thing.
I will make it one of my bits. So I'll get rid of that. I did like the moment when one of the girls says schedule and the other one says schedule. I thought that was a good bit of writing to know that we pronounce that word differently in England and America.
It's not really writing. It's more like fact checking.
Mm. The sequel's coming out next year.
Oh, can't wait.
In the sequel, Duchess Margaret unexpectedly inherits the throne and hits a rough patch with Kevin. So it's up to Stacey to save the day before a new lookalike, party girl Fiona, foils their plans.
What?
There's going to be 3 Vanessa Hudgens in the next one.
Working her ass off.
We are doing that next Christmas.
I have to say, she does very well.
She does, but they feel like there's moments where they've gone, we haven't really got anything, Vanessa, so... Can you just sort of do your stuff, do what you do?
Yeah.
It's like that whole walking bit goes on for ages. I'm going to walk like this and then I'm going to walk like that. And it's like, you feel it. There are moments where she's been hung out to dry a little bit in this. Oh, just a little bit. Not lots, because she's good, but there are bits. Little bits.
Categories.
Right. I know you get funny about which order we do them in. Shall we do best scene first?
Vicky gets to this. Why don't you take over?
Yeah, why don't you?
Because that's how we do it.
What? Am I doing it now?
Yeah.
Your most valuable character, Chris.
Wait, we're starting with...
Shut up.
It's a different order.
Why don't Chris...
No, wait.
You start. Do it. Say best scene.
Do you always do best scene or...
I do not care.
Okay. My favourite scene was right at the end during the wedding when she throws her bouquet... it lands in the arms of Vanessa Hudgens' body double, and they didn't bother to switch it out. So it's a completely different woman, and then it closes up and it's her.
She's got loads of tattoos on her arms.
Yeah. I just like the fact they couldn't be asked to actually change that. So yeah. They left her in.
She has a hook for her hand as well.
That's correct.
Vicky, what's your best scene?
Oh, I'm really struggling. Let's just say it's where Kevin takes his top off.
That's what I've got!
Oh, really?
Kevin with his top off, yeah. Borrowing toothpaste in the night.
Why would he? It's quite a passive-aggressive move, actually. It's quite sexually aggressive. Like, unless they're really best friends and they walk around with their top off all the time, you don't just pop, you don't do the pop into someone's room and be like, and is it obviously a bullshit excuse? Like, oh, I've forgotten my toothpaste.
And you can see that he's just been doing push-ups like just before he comes to the door because all his veins are popping.
Yeah.
Like Zac Efron.
Like Zac Efron, yeah. On the neighbour's set.
So the more I think about it, the worse I feel about that scene, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, too late now. Favourite scene.
Never mind. My favourite.
Okay, MVC, Chris.
So I'm going to go with Vanessa Hudgens, the actress, because there are moments where she's an American actress doing an English person pretending to do an American accent, talking to an American pretending to do an English accent, and she purposely slips up in some of those scenes, and I just think there's a lot going on there that's very impressive. But I was also impressed with Nick Sagar, who plays Kevin, because I never suspected he's English in real life.
No.
And I didn't clock that.
No.
He just told us that a minute ago.
No, I haven't said it yet.
I thought you said...
No.
You said he was on Nashville, which is weird because he's
no, that's
Brit.
The Prince.
That's the Prince.
Who are you
talking about? Kevin.
About?
The guy who plays Kevin's English.
With his top off.
Who's Kevin?
The guy with his top off.
The sexual predator with
he's
the
he's an English guy in real life.
I must have missed that bit. Nope.
In real life. As is the little girl, his daughter, Olivia. She's English as well.
Ooh, yes!
Everyone's English.
Olivia! I remember Olivia. It's Kevin guy. No idea.
Okay, Vicky.
My most valuable character is cheap Tom Hollander, Frank.
Oh, I like Frank, but he wasn't in it enough. Frank was great.
So I actually know the guy who plays him, Mark Fleischman. I haven't seen him for like probably 20 years, but we used to do stand-up together.
Oh, really?
He's funny in this.
He's so good in it.
He gets a couple of Home Alone slapstick moments.
He's my MVC as well, Frank DeLuca.
God. He was mine until I changed it.
Oh, okay, but you did change it.
That was nearly a clean sweep for Frank.
Yeah, no, I thought he was great. I mean, I still sort of found it a bit uncomfortable that he was taking photographs of the Duchess outside.
In a bedroom.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I know you've been asked by the King to find out what's going on.
But we've all got a line, a professional line.
Right. Is that when the two of them are talking to each other?
Yes.
So shouldn't they close the curtains if they're doing this plot? It's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's their
there's
fault.
There's one rule.
It's their fault, it's, Chris.
It always is. It always is. There's no such thing as a peeping Tom.
Hollander.
Chris, what would you change?
Sorry.
I would have Vanessa Hudgens play Twister against Vanessa Hudgens. Don't introduce Twister and have two actresses who are the same playing the same part and not have them play Twister together.
Would that not have undone the whole plot, though? Because she has to escape from the toy store. Yeah. You mean like
just a scene at the end.
A post-credits kind
a
of
scene
thing.
At the end.
Where they play Twister in private. Is that what you mean?
Mm. Okay. Oh, no. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about it like that.
Draw the curtains.
Oh, dear.
But I am intrigued.
Okay. So what would you change? Chris?
I would have a scene, not in this film, but in A Christmas Night, the new Vanessa Hudgens movie, where her and the knight are watching this film on Netflix, and they're watching the scene where they're watching A Christmas Prince on Netflix.
That'll definitely happen. I think that will happen.
Yeah. I want to meta this shit up. Yeah.
Lovely.
I want to incept this shit.
What would you change, Victoria?
I can't believe that the morning that Stacey is Margaret, her first morning, and she goes down to breakfast with the King and Queen, I have certain expectations of films like this, and she doesn't fuck up the cutlery. Now, come on.
Like using a fish knife to stir a tea.
Obviously. Yeah. Come the fuck on. It's sitting in front of you. I mean, I was disappointed.
Throwing a steak knife out of the window.
Yeah.
Just not knowing what to do with the cutlery.
Fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's this spoon do? It's in my eyes now.
That's my change.
Yep. My change would be, seeing as it's sort of mentioned as a running joke throughout, I think a post-credit scene should be where everyone's happy and then suddenly an alien mothership decloaks and you see the prince and he goes, fuck diplomacy, and pulls out a laser gun, and that's the end, and you're like, what's going to happen?
That's brilliant.
Before we go to the verdict, these are both quite moralistic films. Do you think we've learned anything?
Yeah. Don't let me pick the movies.
I quite enjoyed talking about them.
No,
yeah,
I did.
They were a bit of a slog to watch, especially the second one was long.
Too long.
Wasn't it? It was exhausting.
I feel we're getting into casting our votes now. I think maybe we should just do the verdict.
Do it.
All right, here's the verdict. Chris, what are you going for this week?
Well, neither film made me want to Netflix and chill. They actually made me want to Netflix and kill.
Netflix and chill is a euphemism for sex. You know that, right?
Yeah, I thought they might. I thought they were romantic movies.
He knows and he doesn't care.
Sunday, I watched them on Sunday with my better half. I thought it was going to be a bit of romance in the air. She just got increasingly annoyed as we were watching. She got annoyed with the second one as well.
Yeah, they're annoying movies, Chris.
But as the suspense of a Christmas, the Princess Switch revolves around pureeing berries... I think the balls it takes to put that in a movie, I'm letting that one have the win. Princess Switch.
Okay. Victoria?
I just don't know. I
don't know or don't care,
it's
really.
It's 50-50
okay.
for me at the moment. So I'm going to say, because A Christmas Prince is like the origin of this, because they watch it in the Princess Switch, I'm just going to pick A Christmas Prince. Don't ask me to say any more than that.
Okay. So that leaves it with me this week. They were my choices. So it's nice that I get the casting vote. It's not. I don't really care. But I love a winter prince, a Christmas prince.
Christmas jingle.
I love it because of the horse. I've said it before, but that fucking horse is amazing. Like, just like... The amount of time that horse has spent setting up that trap for her is wonderful. And I really wish there was more of the horse in it. And I thought there was cunning. And there's an intelligence that horse has that you don't normally see in a movie horse. That said, it's a fucking awful film. Whereas The Princess Switch is roughly watchable.
Okay, yeah.
So The Princess Switch is the winner this week.
A worthy winner.
Is it?
Yeah. It is the better film.
It is.
Nice. Next week, we're doing something a bit different. We are doing the first ever Clash of the Titles Awards.
Yay!
So we're off to the pub to figure out the categories and talk about the year and talk about films and ask each other stupid questions. But to give you a bit of a head start for the week after, Vicky, it's your choices.
Alex, I would like you to watch Pacific Rim.
Love it.
And Chris, I would like you to watch Reign of Fire.
Oh,
and I will need to watch both of those.
Have you not seen either?
No.
You're in for a treat. They're both great.
Okay.
I think we all need to watch both of them.
That's how it works. Sorry.
Shall we do that?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So the winner this week is The Princess Switch. If you do want to get in touch with us on Twitter, it's @ClashPod, or you can email us, which is show@clashpod.com. Thanks very much. Or MacGyver, you're welcome to write us letters. I'll post Vicky's address online so you can find it there. Thanks very much for listening, and do subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify or other. See you in a week. Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.